Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, go to Jeremiah, the first chapter in the fifth verse, Jeremiah 1:5. Okay? And let me help you today. We're going somewhere powerful, okay? So get ready, all right? Make sure your heart's open. Make sure you're ready to receive the word. If you've got unforgiveness in your life, get over it. Just say, God, forgive them. I don't feel like it. I don't want to. I'm never going to trust them again, but I forgive them because I want to receive this word today. Anybody with me on that? So let's welcome everybody at Sky Took Sepulpa in Oklahoma City. We got people watching in Oklahoma City. We don't even care about you guys. I don't know. Jeremiah 1:5. You got to be a little more cooperative. All right? This is, I'm sweating. I'm working my tail off. Okay, Jeremiah 1:5. Tell me when you're there. Okay. Before I formed you, this is God. Before I formed you in the womb, okay? That's the early days of your life, all right? Before you were born, he said, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Let me just tell you, the backstory on Jeremiah is he was a youth. He wasn't just young. He wasn't a young man. The Bible refers to him as youth, as a boy, okay? And God said, look, before you were born, I knew you. And that word, that's an intimate term that God knew it. He didn't just know about him. He knew him intimately. He formed him in his mama's womb. And he said, I sanctified, or I set you apart. Okay? So, man, don't sweat because you're so young. Don't worry about that. And I'm just telling you guys, there's always something. You're always dealing with something. So even if you're too young, if you're too old, if you're too rich, if you're too poor, if you're too educated, if you're uneducated, like it's just interesting. The Bible says it reigns in the just and the unjust alike. Okay, we are in this world, we're just not of it. Okay, our citizenship, which is weird because we live in the greatest nation on the earth. All right, but our citizenship's truly in heaven. And that citizenship causes us to have a mindset that's heavenly. Remember Jesus, he said, here's how you pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Listen, on earth as it is in heaven. All right, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're looking for now. The plane of life that we live in, it's not a natural plane, it's a supernatural plane. And the plane of life that we live in is on earth as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, as it is in heaven, okay? And again, we're going something now. Now you flip over to the New Testament, Matthew 6:32. Jesus is talking and Jesus is saying, you know, it's interesting because all this stuff that the Gentiles seek, we don't seek it the same way. And he said, after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Man, even if that new car, new truck, new boots, wardrobe, trips, whatever it is, all right? He said, we don't seek it the way the Gentiles do. He said this, but seek first the kingdom of heaven. Okay, the kingdom of heaven is literally translated God's way of doing things, the king's domain, how God does things, okay? And the why is the big factor in God's kingdom. But seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. And this is key. Man, I've done this a long time. I've been a Christian since 1979. I've repented. I've asked God to forgive me. I've grown in God. I could quote his word. I could stand in his promise. I know how to walk in faith. I know how to pursue God's peace. All this stuff, okay? I know to occupy my life with the joy of the Lord and not just looking for temporal things to bring me joy. All that stuff, but I still have to understand that it's his righteousness, not mine. I'm not righteous at all in and of myself every time I think that. The Bible says this is a filthy rags to the Lord, okay? And that's worse than mildewed rags. You know, you walk in somewhere and you're like, oh my gosh, something's mildewed. Well, that with God, it's that distasteful. What I'm trying to say, hey, look, I've checked all my boxes. I've got all the gold stars I need to on my chore chart. Man, I've got it going on. Man, look at me here. I'll be a great example for you because I know how to live my life. Man, none of that stuff. It's his righteousness. I can't take possession of that righteousness except for the blood of Jesus and recognize God first in my life all the time. But seek first God's way of doing things and his right standing. Okay, his level of living. And then Jesus said this, and this is profound. He said, and all these things, the stuff the Gentiles are seeking, all these things will be added unto you. See, so we look at this and, man, I think about it, and really we're not even to the core base of Scripture for this message. And already there's so many things that it's like, oh my gosh, I want this in my life. Okay, there's conditions on everything but God's love in His kingdom. In His kingdom, man, there's conditions on His promise. There's conditions on His life. There's conditions upon the fruit, the whole thing. But His love is unconditional, all right? Write that down. God's love is unconditional. You can't lose it, all right? But His promises, the God kind of life, very conditional. So you know what? In order for us to have everything that the Gentiles have, that they're seeking, okay, they're wanting to win the lottery to get that stuff. That's not how we seek it. We seek first what? His way of doing things. His way of thinking. The mindset that would honor God in my life, okay? And His righteousness. And the interesting thing about that is you know, I think about it. I think that Jesus was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. And you know, I'm well aware of the temptations in my life. Anybody with me on that? Do we need to have classes at the church to teach people how to identify temptation? No, it's easy. It's like, shoot. Okay, what's interesting is like a month ago, Sadie and I were talking, out of nowhere, Sadie said, well, you know, Bill, I'm tempted as well. I'm like, with what? You're Sandy, are you kidding me? It was shocking to me. I was like, what? You would lie, cheat, steal? Shoot, anybody married to a woman like that? I mean, it's like, my gosh, it's like, and to me, it's real easy for me to hear from the Holy Spirit, but sometimes it just sounds like Sandy. So I'm like, okay. But so when she says she was tempted, but you know, the Bible says Jesus was tempted in like manner as us, just like we are. I know that's profound because, man, your temptations could peel the paint off the walls. But the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. There's that word no again. Man, then I knew you in your mother's womb, an intimate knowing, okay? So turn your Bibles now, and really, for real, you got to read this for yourself in your Bible, and we're going to put it on the screen, of course, for anybody that here doesn't have a phone and doesn't have their Bible on it or doesn't carry the book, the Bible, but Hebrews 13:5, and your life is fixing to change. Things are about to be very different because it's like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Moments, all right? Let your conduct, it's how it starts. Let your conduct, your manner of life, your way of life, how you live your life, let your conduct be without covetousness. Underline in your Bible, be without covetousness. Where you're looking at it and jealousy, oh my gosh, jealousy may very well be the worst emotion you could have. So toxic, so crazy. And I'll be real honest with you, in my profession, the ministry's full of it. I mean, full of it, especially now social media. Used to be I'd hear things and it'd come third, and now it's like social media, it's like, oh my gosh. And you know what, the more social media I devour, man, the more I realize I'm low man on the totem pole. this is crazy. And we had 7,100 salvations in October, but still, you know what? The devil keeps wanting to push us down and wanting to repress us. And we've got to be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. See, and this requires the confession of your faith. Be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For God, He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let me just tell you, this right here, this is not the first time anybody in this room has ever heard that. Anybody in St. Paul, anybody in Skytook, anybody in Oklahoma City, anybody watching wherever you are, this isn't the first time you've heard this. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Listen to the next verse. So we boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? See, be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. Why? Because God said, look, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And the bottom line with this is that we have to understand this. I want you to notice what the Bible states here. Put that verse back up. He Himself has said, so we may boldly say. If God's word states it, you have the right to say it. If God's word says, now listen, if God's word says he sent his word and healed you and delivered you of your destructions, you have the right to say you're healed. And don't have the right to say you're sick. You don't have the right to say that he's touched with our infirmity. You don't have the right anymore to say God doesn't care about my infirmities. No, you know what? God is deeply touched with your infirmities. He deeply cares where you are right now, even in the most infinitesimal things. He has numbered. He doesn't know how many hairs are on your head. He has meticulously numbered those hairs. Man, he knows when you got a toothache. He knows when you've missed the exit. Happens to me a lot. In church services. If God's word states something, you can say it. So what does God say? Real simple. He'll never leave you. You'll never be without God in your life. He'll never forsake you. Meaning this, listen, no matter what the facts are, no matter what your earthly provision is, he will always resource you. Is that amazing? No matter what, he'll never forsake you. He'll always resource you. As a result, you could say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? If God's the truth, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So if God's the truth, if his word is the truth, what can man do to you? When you understand that God will never leave you nor forsake you, you can live a life without fear, completely without fear. And we look at it and you think, okay, I need chapter and verse. I'll give it to you. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Why take it? What has he given you then? A spirit of love and power and a sound mind. Everybody say love, power, a sound mind. That's what God's given me. See, but you know what? You can reject it. You can allow the facts of life. Let me tell you, the truth of God's promise trumps the facts that you see in the world. We don't live by what we see. We don't live by how we feel. We live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. See, here's what the Bible says, and this is real simple. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart honor you, O God. You know, we've got a midterm election coming up. And you know what? There's a lot in our country that weighs in the balance. And there's a lot of pressure on pastors and preachers to get up and say, listen, here's what the word says. And you know what? The bottom line is this. Why would I go political in here? We want to reach Republicans. We want to reach Democrats. We want to reach independents. Why would I say anything to sever the opportunity to reach people to go to political gain? Listen, I'll go a step further. I want to reach socialists. I want to love atheists into the kingdom. I want to look at Muslims as lost sheep, not as... We need to reach them with the love of God. And you know what? Everything's so polarizing. And you'll think, oh my gosh, it's so terrible. What if it's not so terrible? What if what's terrible is the church doesn't step up and be the church pointing everybody we can to the cross and the resurrection through the cross, through the blood of Jesus? What if that's the thing that's terrible? What if that gap in the middle, which is where I believe Jesus is? My dear friend Miles McPherson wrote a book about racial unity in the church and in America today, and it's called The Third Option. And that third option is Jesus. What if politically there's right and wrong and then there's Jesus? Man, which side do I want to land on? Well, but Pastor, we want to know your opinions. Yeah, that's not for here. That might be for somewhere else. But for here, the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart have to honor God. Man, that's who we are. I've got dear friends running for public office. Yeah, I'm rooting for them, voting for them. But the bottom line here is, I don't want to alienate anybody, because the word said God will never leave us nor forsake us. Man, I've ministered to, I've prayed with, I've preached to people in national politics on both sides. It's the same word. You know what that word is? Jesus is the name above every name. Unless the Lord build the house, those who labor, labor in vain. And you know what? Now I've fulfilled my responsibility for people that are saying, look, you've got to take a stand. You've got to say something. I said it. And it's what I want to live. I want to reach everybody. No matter how old, how young, by any means necessary. Paul said, become all things to all men that you might save some. See, and we've got to look at that. When you understand that God will never leave you nor forsake you, you can live a life without fear, no matter where you are or what you've done right now. And that freedom from fear will be reflected in both your actions and how you live and what you live and the words, your speech. See, that's what the Bible says is, don't worry. And you're like, how do I not worry? No, the Bible, that's not a state of law. The very next word, it says, don't worry, saying. See, you speak it, now you own it. But you know what? You're tempted to speak it. You're tempted to believe it. You're tempted to speak it. But I want to ask you today, what are you facing today? Because I'll just tell you, at the core of who I am, I'm a fighter. And you know what? The nature of God on the inside of me, I want to grapple, I want to fight with what's coming against you. Because that's what God does. And I want to pick God's side. God's going to tussle with what messes with you. Would you be afraid if God was standing right here by me right here and he just said, hey, it's all right, I'm here. Well, he is. God doesn't lose. There's no chance we lose when we just come to the realization that God's with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And no matter what we're going through, he said he would never leave or abandon you. You may not see him, you may not feel him, but he's with you now and always. And you know what the Bible says? It boldly say, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always resource you. I'm sorry I lifted my voice. I'm sorry I got passionate, but let me tell you, that's how I be bold. It's time to start acting and speaking like you believe this. Like this is really a core belief that you have. Boldly say, the Lord is helping me. I will not fear. Say this after me. I will not fear. Okay, let's leave the shallow end. You know that little tube that they blow up and it's got a little flamingo on it? You know, we're going around, we're playing church in the shallow end, but our feet can touch and we're acting like we're swimming. We're acting like we're all Mark Spitz or what's that other guy? He was not Mark Spitz, that Phelps boy. No, do you ever see him go like this, get loosened up? His arms are like 20 feet long. He's not human. That's why he won all those races. Do you see how long his arms are? But anyway, where was I? Why did I talk? Oh, let's get out of the shallow end. Quit laughing at me. Hey, let's get to the deep end here. All right? You guys ready for this? I will not fear. I will not lose. Say that again. Say it like you mean it. I will not lose. I refuse to lose. Greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. But thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest his neighbor, savors of his knowledge in every... I tried to be Chano there. But thanks be to God who always causes me to triumph in Christ. I will not fear. I will not lose. Say this after me. I'm blessed. Say it again. I'm healthy. I'm strong. I'm free. I'm prosperous. I'm loved. I'm courageous. I'm courageous. I'm courageous. There's 365 times in the Bible where the Bible says, do not fear. Be courageous. Do not fear. Be courageous. 365 times. That's odd, isn't it? That's an interesting number. That means there's a time in God's word for every day for you to say, I don't fear. I am courageous. See, we can God has stated it, so we can boldly say it. Man, don't compromise your faith, your stick-to-itiveness, your bold stand by saying, I don't feel good. Doesn't matter how you feel, it matters how you talk. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart honor you, God. Let the weak say, let the poor say, let the sick say. Man, I'm just telling you, that's how this works. If you can say it, and you can say it, and you can say it, I said, I'm courageous. I'm courageous. I'm courageous. I'm courageous. You can have it. The race isn't for the swift, and the battle's not for the strong. Doesn't matter how many times you failed, no matter how many times you've been weak, you have to be strong today. You got to be bold today. You got to look at the adversity that you face in your life and see it as an opportunity to let the power of the living God that's on the inside of you. Our God is a consuming fire. And what we believe in our heart and what we say with our mouth unleashes that fire. The God who loves you, you know what he matter-of-factly said? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You speak God's promise in the throes of your deficit, your debt, your sickness, your disease, your defeat. It unleashes that power. And the Bible promises that death is swallowed up in his victory. That's the consuming fire that our God is. That's who we are in Christ.